Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, we give it all to Him. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am grateful for this day that the Lord has made. The sun is beautifully shining, and we are a blessed people. We are blessed because of the love of Jesus Christ. And so we welcome you to the Friday Fellowship of Learners, as we journey through, Andrew Murray's book, The School of Obedience. You are live, and we are encouraging interaction today. But let us start. Focus should be every time we think to pick it up to study it. Let us love in deed and truth, whereby we shall assure our hearts before Him. And whosoever we ask and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because He keeps His commandments, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Obedience is the secret of good conscience and of the confidence that God hears us. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. The obedience that keeps His commandments. This is the garment, the hidden, invisible love reveals itself and whereby it is known. So as we study, we pray that it will awaken in us an earnest desire to know God's will fully concerning this truth of obedience. Let us unite in praying that the Holy Spirit may show us how defective the Christian's life is where obedience does not rule all. how that life can be exchanged for one of full surrender, withholding nothing, to absolute obedience, and how sure it is that God in Christ will enable us to live it out. So the path and the power come from God. And so we rejoice in that truth as the third brings forth to us the secret of true obedience. We are in the third chapter of our study, and it's coming out of Hebrews 5 and 8. He learned obedience. And someone could get that scripture in one of the more liberal versions of the Bible, the Message, the Voice, the Passion, the Living, the Amplified. So we may start off our morning with this scripture that gives us the focus of this lesson. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning, Minister Paulette. I have it in the Message. I'm still trying to learn how to use it, though, because it has 7 through 10. So I'm not exactly sure where 8 begins. It says, while he lived on earth, anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity, and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And it's good that we took it from the beginning of that in Hebrews 5. And so as we hear, as we are exposed, as we read, what is our focus? What is it? Why do we pick this book up? What are we looking for? What is it we expect? You know, what is it? What is the desire of our study? And this is an open question. It's for answering. It's not a rhetorical question. But what is your reasoning? You can answer.
Well, what am I adding in this book? I think I'm, let me see. I had marked something down. It's like, you know, you try to obey in your strength, But as he was saying, it's not possible to truly obey in your own strength. So this book is helping me anyway. See that, you know, we have to really rely on Holy Spirit, and the more to obey in his strength, not mine, because he said, with man, knowing and willing, knowing and doing, even willing and performing are, for lack of power, often separate and even at variance. In the Holy Spirit. You know, it's never in the Holy Spirit. For he is at once the light and the might of God. All he is and does and gives has in it equally the truth and the power of God. When he shows you God's command, he always shows it you as a possible and a certain way, a divine life and gift prepared for you, which he who shows is able to impart. So when we're trying to do it on our own, we really aren't getting the full benefit by not allowing Holy Spirit to really reveal what and how God wants us to do everything.
Okay. Amen. That's it. Your last statement is so that you know what and how God wants you to do everything. Summed up perfectly. Perfect. Anybody else?
That I was trying to do it in my way and thinking that I will be able to change on my own, but realizing that I couldn't, that I needed help and I needed people to accept help and to ask for help and to receive help. And that is what I realized. You know, I can't do it in my own strength.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? How does this change, or how does this affect the role you play in the lives of other people, in the lives of the church? How does this affect your life? Reading and studying and seeking, what are we hoping to accomplish?
To better help others know how to obey and allow the word to come alive in their every day living, because if we're not allowing it to do what God would have it to do with us, then surely we're not totally equipped to help others, because they're watching us, everything that come out of our mouth, every action, you know, everything that we do, every expression, facial expressions, just the total, you know, visible things that they see in us, you know, body language, facial expression, in action. So we want to be able to stand before them that they may see Christ and not us.
Amen. Amen. And the scripture shares with us, and the author points out that the scripture was not written to increase our knowledge about God, but to guide our conduct, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And our desire is to be perfected by the word of God. And so Christ shows us, as an example, the secret to true obedience. And so one of the things was he knew his purpose when he was born. He knew his purpose. The scripture says he knew he was born to die. He knew his purpose. However, in order to get to that point, he had to follow the plan and the path that was marked out for him. And it wasn't necessarily that God in heaven gave him all the details while he was up there. When he was born, he went, did, you know, step one, step two, step three, now. No, but on a regular, continuous communication with God, he sought this continual fellowship. And that was how he was able to become obedient unto death. And it's that it was that abiding fellowship. It is that abiding in Christ that will lead us to a life of true obedience.
Not my will, but thy will.
Yes, not thy will. And the Bible says that Christ, he didn't come saying that. He learned. He learned obedience through his suffering. And so that gives us two indications of elements that are going to be presented to us for the perfecting of our life. And one of it is we have to be learners, and I love it that God gave us this definition of the Friday Fellowship of Learners. And as he learned obedience, we learn obedience by abiding in the fellowship, by abiding in the vine. That go back to abiding in Christ. It is God's holy presence continuously that causes us to grow in the perfected state of obedience. And the author shares that a defective obedience is always the result of a defective life. So when we're off and on with God, up and down, hot and cold, then that's the way our obedience looks as well. And all of us, I believe, the desire of our heart is that that not be the case. So we have to understand that as we look at Christ's life and study it, that's the only way we're going to that this actually journey is going to be easy and the burden is going to be light, because that's what he says. He says, take my yoke and learn of me. Look at what I am sharing with you, because I have authored your salvation through my obedience. I've written it out in my spirit to give to you so that you will know how to live your life as I live my life here on earth. He is and was and will always be our living example. And so as we study and learn of him and what he did, then our lives will then start lining up naturally spiritually, not naturally on the human side, but it'll become a spiritual natural that will be created in our hearts and in our minds, and it will just become naturally. We will have a full and healthy spiritual life, full of obedience, and obedience that flows through, okay, the continuous fellowship with God, the love that we have of God, for God, the love that we experience as we fellowship with him. As we fellowship with him, we are making ourselves available to his presence. We are seeking him. We are acknowledging him. We are resting in him. And we are then being perfected by him. I love the way
Amen, Mr. Prophet.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I think sometimes, you know, when we're studying the word, we're, like I said, scripture was not written to increase our knowledge, you know, not just increase our knowledge about it, but, you know, going further when you read it, you know, putting it into action. It's like, okay, we're reading it, but then I think sometimes we forget to allow it to mix it all up with like a cake. If you mix it up and don't put it in the oven, then it's not a cake. So, you know, with the word, we're eating it, but then if we're not allowing it to nourish the area within us, and specifically obedience to his word, if we're not allowing it to, you know, mix with everything else, then we won't get the full the wholeness of it. If I can
Amen.
Put it like
That's
that.
Excellent analogy of the cake. And if you will go a step further, you think you got to put it in the oven. But what you're doing then is releasing the things that you've gotten and you've put together in that bowl, in that cake pan, whatever, and you're putting it in the oven. That's us releasing to the fire of the Holy Spirit, who will bring about the rising up of those ingredients that we've been taught, and will perform. It will produce this awesome, well, cake, but awesome men and women of God. That's a wonderful analogy.
Yes.
It is that heat, but it is you. You allowing you, like you said, putting the cake in the oven, but it's us realizing that you've done all you can. You studied, you showed yourself proof, you've done all you can. You can't do anything else. The rest is up to Holy Spirit. It is His power. You followed the path or the recipe, if you will,
yes.
And now you need His power in order to produce the perfection. I love it.
Yes,
ma'am. A word of encouragement that was actually for one of those, you know, daily things. It says, and this is God speaking to us. One moment. Excuse my voice. I am worthy of all your confidence, all your trust. There are people and things that deserve some of your confidence and trust, but I deserve all. I deserve it all. In a world that seems increasingly unsafe and unpredictable, I am the rock that provides a firm foundation for your life. More than that, I am your rock in whom you can take refuge, for I am your God. You must not let your circumstances define your sense of security, though it is natural for you to want to be in control of your life. I can empower you to live supernaturally, resting in my sovereign control. I am a well-proven help in trouble, and I am always present with you. I help you face unwelcome changes and even catastrophic circumstances without fear, instead of letting anxiety, anxious thoughts roam freely in your mind, toss them aside and hear my voice. And just as the author said, that the secret to obedience is hearing the voice of God, and that you hear that voice in that fellowship, in that place where you have rested in the sovereignty of God, and you rested in confidence in that sovereignty because of the close and the continuous fellowship you have with Him, and He has proven Himself to be worthy. He has proven Himself to be more than capable. And so we are revealed these mysteries, these elements of power of, I don't want to say a performance, but of the manifestation and the miracles, because that's a miracle, a miraculous, supernatural transformation of our thinking is done when we are hanging around with the supernatural sovereign God. And so that fellowship is where the lifetime the life source comes from. The goal in the study of our lives is mirrored through the life of Christ. And He was in all things depending on God for all things at all times. So there wasn't a time that He put forth His own will or sought to do something on His own without first going before the Father. He was always going in prayer in the morning, at night. He was always communicating and connecting with his source. And so he is giving us this I don't want to say this procedure, but he is giving us the example of the elements that are important for us to comprehend in the school of obedience. And he lists them as being more most important is the teacher, the class book, and the pupils. So anyone that goes to school, those are the things that are going to be the elements that are going to transform your thinking. It's the teacher, it's the book, excuse me, and it is you. Excuse me this morning. And so as he learned obedience, he expects us to learn obedience. So I think one of the most important things for us to first glean is for us not to condemn ourselves. You know, when we've done and we've gone and we've not perfected the things that have been released for us to do, and we have erred or we have fallen or we haven't, we've read it, we've studied it, but, you know, when it comes time to, as you say, do it, we it doesn't seem to work the way it should. And he's letting us know we have to learn this. It's an unfolding process that we're in, and it is unfolding because moment by moment the importance of our connection to God is what we must focus on. Not this is the plan, let me try to do it. This is what I read, let me try to do it. No, this is what you shared. I've heard your voice, O God, and now I seek in confidence your power to go forth. So it's a praying. It's not going forth in our own strength, as you mentioned. The life of a continuous obedience, it's impossible without continuous fellowship and continuous teaching. So there's never a time that we are done and I got it and I'm good. No, we're always learning, day by day, moment by moment, and excited about that learning, getting excited about hearing what our teacher will tell us, and that's Holy Spirit, you know, getting excited about asking for understanding and for discernment so that that which is we're reading and studying, it can be, I love it the way I think you put it on one of the pages here, that the Holy Spirit will work it in, he will work his word in our heart. Holy Spirit will work his word in our heart and in our love and in our will. It says, this is the great work of the indwelling Holy Spirit, to draw the word we read and think upon into our hearts and make it quick and powerful there so that God's living word may work effectively in our will, our love, and our being. It is because of this, it is because this is not understood that the word has no power to work obedience. And so, we must hear the voice of God in personal living influence of his voice because of a personal and continuous fellowship, abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine, abiding in the word, studying to take my yoke, to learn of him, to look at how he did it so that we will then understand how we must do it. He learned obedience by every moment, waiting to see and hear the Father and to see as to teach him. he wait every moment doing this. What do I do? And waiting on God, in not just so in obedience, but also in excitement and in anticipation of what he is going to show and to reveal. You know, my prayer is I encourage you, you know, from page to page, you know, outline the prayer, but my prayer as it relates to the teacher is I pray earnestly that God show me the folly of attempting to obey without the same strength Christ needed. So often we say, you know, well, God, you know, Christ did that, but I'm not Christ. But we have the same strength that Christ had because he has given us Holy Spirit. It's just may in that strength make you willing to give up everything for the Christ-like joy of the Father's presence all the day. And just to focus our day daily on him and not on those earthly things that are around us. And you say, well, you know, we don't live in a monastery or in a sanctuary like priests, and that's all they do. No, but everything, everywhere, in every place that we are can be sanctuary, because we are the sanctuary, and we can bring that atmosphere with us and that focus with us. And when that is our focus, he will then manifest himself. One of the things that we are looking at laborers is the maturation, manifestation, miracles. And so for that, we have to have a constant flow of the power of the Holy Spirit in our thinking and before our eyes, so that we have the wisdom to discern those things and to hear the voice of God. And then the next item that's a part of the school of obedience is the textbook, which is the Word of God. And we all know how Christ used the Word of God. He said it was written. It was the sword of the Spirit in which Christ conquered Satan. And that's the bottom line. The way to conquer Satan is through the sword of the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The plan and the path that God has laid out for us is revealed in his word. The power is revealed in his word, so that we can understand how vital his word is to our life, and thereby being always learners from the word of God and eagerly awakening our ears to hear as the learned hears, that God will open our ears so we hear his voice. You can open our ears so that when conversations are going on around you and life is just unfolding in the natural, with the ears that have been empowered by God to hear, you'll hear more than what's going on. And not that you'll hear voices, no, but you'll hear words and you'll have a comprehension of and understanding often, of the source of those words, the heart that the words come from, the pain that the words are coming out of, or the confusion or the frustration. And when we are able to look at life that way and to interact with individuals that way, we don't always hear offense, but we will hear suffering. We will hear the places that people are in that they need rescuing from, and we are able then to go intercede on their behalf, pray, or respond to them in the love that Christ shown. Like he was walking with his disciples, and he says, "Oh, so that's what y'all talking." They go, "Oh, did he hear us? Did he hear what he said?" You know, we can have that discernment. We can have that because he says, you know, as we walk close, in fellowship. Heaven reveals secrets to us, and they reveal these secrets to us so that we can be his agent on earth to bring peace, to bring freedom to the captives. That's how we do that, to provide an environment of love where they feel safe while they're being healed, while they're being exposed, while change is coming, so that they will have a hope and a joy in their process because they are surrounded by those that understand that hope and that process. And so as pupils, as students, it says, in a faithful student, there are several things that go to make up his feeling toward a trusted teacher. He submits himself entirely to the teacher's leading. And that's the song that was withholding nothing. Entirely, you submit yourself because you trust in God. You submit yourself to him. The only way to learn to do a thing is to do it. The only way of learning obedience from Christ is to give up your will to him and to make the doing of his will the one desire and delight of your heart. You know, we always use that scripture, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yes, he'll give you the desires of your heart when the desires of your heart are to do his will. And he is faithful in bringing that to pass. As an evangelist shared with us, not my will, but thy will, all day long. You know, every day needs to be our cry and our prayer in all things that we come in contact with. As I think elders shared this morning, every decision, every word, every facial expression, you know, it's not my will, but thy will. Because of the trust, fellowship, relationship that I have with the living God, the teacher who has is tried and it's become true. And that was the first thing, is a student has to yield. And then the second thing, the student, after you yield your will, you have to trust. And that trust is in his divine power over your heart and your lives. He invites, he deserves it. And he has won that. And so you really have to trust him. We talked this Wednesday on a birth control and how a lot of people, Christians, you know, do you use contraceptives and different things? And even as a married couple, not in the world and in sin, but as a married couple, what do? You really have to trust God. Not your will, but God's will. And we have to get to the place of confidence that whatever the plan and path is for us, he is the one who has been the author of it, and he will finish it, and it will be good, because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so there are things that we often try to do to help God help us have it our way based on him, okay? When in actuality, we want to have him work for us. And I think one place in this scripture, some reading, you know, it's like he's not there to do it for us, to do our will, but he is there to do the will of the Father. Just as he shares so many times in scripture, you know, I give you what the Father gives, but I'm not telling you just from me, I'm telling you what he has said. this responsive love, responding in the trust, brings a love that responds to whatever comes our way. Because we trust him, because we love him, we will respond to the things and the challenges and the situations that come to us as opportunities to express our love and our trust in him and our joy in the way he is running our life.
Well, it says it's absolutely as we have trusted him as our Savior, and we don't try to do nothing to be saved but believe in what he has already done. And we believe it to be true, and we look to heaven as our home. Just as simply as we trust God for that as a Savior, we need to always trust him to have atoned for our disobedience, and because of that, live obediently. Because that is the power that the teacher, the Christ, has given us, a heart that enthusiastically believes in his power, and success as a teacher will, in the joy of that faith, find it possible and easy to obey. He says, if you learn of me, I promise you, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is the presence of Christ with us all the day that will be the secret of true obedience. So because he's there and we trust, then obedience will flow from that love-trust relationship. And then the third thing that a student, a scholar, has to give to the master is his attendance and his attention. His attendance and his attention. As he asks, the master fixed how much time must be devoted to personal intercourse and instruction. It's the master who tells us. It's the teacher who tells you how much homework you have or how much time you have to be in class or how many hours you have to do your lab before you pass. And it is that same concept. You got to show up and you got to pay attention. It doesn't help if you just show up and don't pay attention, and it doesn't help if you're not showing up and you're trying to do it the other way. You know, I'll give attention to the homework, but I'm not going to class. No, you got to do it all. It's just like Elder said, after you put all the ingredients in that bowl and in that pan, you have to put it in the oven, give it to, surrender it totally to the power of the Holy Spirit. It shares that obedience in God. It's a heavenly art. It's an art. It is a heavenly art. Our nature is so utterly strange to it. We don't understand obedience because we were born in iniquity from disobedience. And we remember that the inheritance we had from the first Adam was disobedience, just as the inheritance we have from the second Adam is obedience. It is an art. It's a heavenly art. It is something that can only be done through grace, through the divine empowerment of God. And so we bring in the grip of grace in the remembrance of the things that we are asked to do and why, and the teaching that we learn. So we put that book, the grip of grace, we put the abiding Christ, we put the absolute surrender, we put the 23rd Psalm, we put the fruit of the Spirit from the garden, we put the green letters, we put it all in a bowl, and we've done that. It's all in us. Now we give it over to Holy Spirit, and as his fire will breathe upon it and work it in our hearts and in our minds. When we open the oven or when someone comes to us, what will open out of us will be that perfected saint that is Christ-like and loving and bringing his will on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we look at the secret of obedience, it's your teacher, it's the book, it's you. And in all things, Christ has provided for. He provided, he's the teacher. He provided, he says, I am the Word. And he said, you now I have made a new creature. He's provided the three elements that's needed in the school of obedience, in a life that is surrendered and flowing in the will of God with joy and with love. Amen? So, what...
Ms. Paulette,
yes.
I'm going to say one other thing that stood out that the writer said. He said, in answer to the prayer of faith and docile waiting, give Holy Spirit's living operation in your heart. Let all your Bible study be a thing of faith. Do not only try and believe the truths or promises you read. This may be in your own power. Before that, believe in the Holy Spirit, in His being in you, in God's working in you, through Him. Take the word into your heart in the quiet faith that He will enable you to love it and yield to it and keep it. And our blessed Lord Jesus will make the book to you what it was to Him when He spoke of the things which are written concerning Him. So I was, it just come to mind that, and I'll speak on my own behalf, you know, am I really, when I'm studying the word, am I really studying it where it says study be a thing of faith? Am I studying it in faith, you know? Is that what I'm doing when I'm studying it? And I said, oh, Lord, I don't, that is, that just popped out, you know. Or am I studying it
absolutely
for, like the other passage said, for more information or, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, ooh, now that is a mouthful right there.
Yes, it is. And you know what? Those are the revelations that Holy Spirit gives us because we're seeking, because we have positioned ourselves in a place to, we want the will of God. We want the plan and the path that God has for us. And so we've gone down a bad path. He says He'll tell you, no, you need to go this way because, you know, and that's why that of the cake is so perfect, you know, and how all of these things that we study, but first of all, like this scripture says, you study them in faith. And so then we have to think, what is faith? And faith, again, is, I know the things not seen and not heard, the evidence, but faith is really believing that what He said is true. And how many times do we read the word and go, well, you know, when Christ told the woman to go and sin no more, you know, did we, like Sarah, laugh? Like, oh, yeah, right. So she's going to go, maybe she won't have, you know, adult sex anymore, but will she sin? Sure. You know, you ask the average Christian, can you live a life without sin? They're not going to tell you that. You know, well, you could, but we don't. You know, they're going to make some kind of condition on it when Christ is saying there is no condition. And as long as we keep putting it there, then we haven't put Him first. We haven't believed. We read it and we know it, but we really don't believe it. It says, you know, trust in the Lord, you know, with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And yet we'll take contraception, marriage, because, you know, okay, God, I know you said that, but, you know, society dictates I don't make enough money, I need to wait before I have kids, or yada, yada, yada. We're not in a place to bring another life into the world, da, 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 da. You know, when he, then we haven't believed what He said. And I know that's a hard place. It's like, no. I do believe Him. We have to believe Him, He said, with all our heart, not with the sections that are easy to give to Him, you know, that are because, quite frankly, they were just, we didn't like them anyway. So we didn't mind giving that up to Him because it wasn't profiting profiting us any? Was it profitable for us? And yet there's so much that he has said, you know, that we don't embrace. We don't believe it because we still do believe a lie. We really do. But he's saying it's okay.
Yeah.
You're going to learn over. You're going to these things are true. It's I've got the scriptures on the TV. Once you started talking, the scripture came up. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. So first of all, we have to believe what the scripture said about Christ, not what we've heard. Or we got to look in here. The scripture says this, 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 and we say, yeah, we believe he lived a holy life. He never sinned. If you believe that, you believe what the word says. It says then this is automatic. From within him will flow. So in other words, if you believe that, if this is going to flow, living water, rivers of living water, river of life giving. We call it waters. what Christ is saying, we get a hunger and thirst, but the very thing that nourishes our living is this river that will flow from us, and it will nourish us and others as they hunger and thirst for righteousness, because that rightness is what will just naturally flow from us. He said, it will. If you believe this, then this is automatic. It is not, you don't have to work at it, you don't have to pray for it. You just, it's coming. It is just coming. And so those are some of the places, the bumpy places we often get to, you know, that we need to be reminded, or we need to discern, oh, wow, see what Holy Spirit is showing us. I'm really not. You know, am I reading this for, you know, to know what my conduct, to guide my conduct, not what my conduct should be? That's one thing. I know I'm not to kill anybody, okay? That's knowing. That's knowledge of what's in the Word. But I want the Word to guide my conduct. So in other words, if it guides me, I won't even get angry to a point that I would want to kill someone. So it will guide me in the right places. It won't guide me to a place of offense with or an ought with a person. It won't guide me there. His Word will only guide me to the place that Christ went, and that's the place that it will guide me to the place that is the plan for my life, and that is to die there. I am crucified with Christ. Never I live. And we died there. Yeah.
And there was another thing he said, remind me, Apostle. I could hear Apostle says, we may delight in studying the Bible. We may admire and be charmed with the views we get of God's truth. The thought suggested may make a deep impression and awaken the most pleasing religious emotions, and yet the practical influence in making us holy or humble, loving, patient, ready either for service or suffering, be very small. And that may not be the exact word she used, but she has said it in other ways to us, you know. And he says the one reason for this is that we do not receive the word as it is in very deed, as the word of the living God, who must himself speak to us and into us if it is to exert its divine power. And Apostle has expressed this very thing to us on many occasions.
And I just come with one of the prayers that I had written is that highlighted. It's like, do not only try and believe the truth or the promises we read. And remember, we are going through a promise in every book of the Bible. It says, don't try to just believe it. It may only be in our own power. I want to believe this, but before that, we have to believe in the Holy Spirit in his being in me. I got to believe that he's in me. And he is working God in me through him.
Yes.
And we take this word and put it in my heart that I will be able to love it, to yield to it, and to keep it. And that the Lord Jesus Christ will make the book to you what it was to him. When he spoke of the thing which was written concerning me, all scripture will become simple revelation of what God is going to do for you, in you, and through you. And so we want to...
You know?
I marked that out.
And also, yeah, what I got out of it, a lot of things were said that I want to say, but also that he's not trying to make us do anything that he's not done. And
right.
The restoration of obedience in Christ's hand, as in his own life. So in us, he has undertaken to maintain. He teaches and worketh in us. And that my prayer was that it was one in there that it said, Lord, give me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And
right.
It was a lot of prayers that were so powerful. And the one that you read on earnestly, God may show me the folly of attempting to obey his word.
Yeah.
So it was just, I want to, and help me, Lord, to obey your voice. And you will be my God.
Yeah.
So it was just this chapter alone just spoke a lot.
Yes.
It opened
his prayer too. Holy Spirit, draw the word I read and think upon into my heart. Make it quick and powerful there, so that God's living word may work effectually in my will, my love, my whole being. I put my in where he had other words. So there's many prayers in this particular chapter.
And can you imagine, and just think about, ask those to give you this revelation. What will happen? It's quite a few people on the line, quite a few, that are going through this book, that are reading these things. And if the prayers we start hearing are prayers that were presented to us in this book, it would change the prayer, what do you want to call it? What a prayer looks like and what prayer sounds like. It won't always be those same repetitive things. It will be an insight like, oh, yes. This is how new life comes. It flows like this river. It flows like a river of living water. So as we even express in prayer in our fellowship with the saints, it will change because people will hear, and they will get that seed and that aha, that revelation of, I will ask this of God because this is what will perfect my conduct. This is what will drive that love. We hear love, we need the love, we need the love, and we'll look at it and go, yeah, but okay. And so what are we praying? We're praying for love. Maybe we should pray for not love, but obedience. Lord, I pray that I'm obedient and forgive my disobedience. You know, we always want to say I believe in and help my unbelief, but forgive my disobedience and make me obedient. To your truth, you know, and to your word, you know, to your will, you know, to true to your love. And so we do. We want to allow it to flow. Now, a lot of people, because it's there. So now it will change. It changes. It changes things. I'll just say that. It changes things.
There's one more, Minister Paulette.
Okay.
And I'm saying it as a prayer, but it says that I will say, you know, Father God, I pray that we, your people, may be fitted to do your will as it is done in heaven, that we may be restored to that perfect obedience on which your heart is set and which alone is blessedness.
Yeah. And I love the one, this is a prayer that, Lord God, awakeneth me morning by morning. Awaken my ears to hear as the learning.
Yes.
And
yes.
Lord God, open my ears. So I not only hear him, but I actually hear people and I hear their heart. You know, and so we want to be sensitive. We want to be vessels that have been emptied out so that which we receive, he can process based on his word and not our preference or our understanding or the little knowledge that we think we may have. And so we thank God for this this Friday fellowship. If there anyone else wants to share a prayer or insight or revelation or truth, not thy will, but not my will, Lord, not my will, but thy will. And I don't know how, if we really didn't focus on it, but one of the truths that we receive is the fact that obedience came in Christ's life through his suffering. Through his suffering when he surrendered. And we are not encouraged, but we are informed, we are to not be trying to avoid the suffering, but rather to receive from the suffering the plan that God has for us, the truth that he is creating within our spirit, the change that needs to be made, and the newness that he is wrought within us. Amen. Amen. So we want to remind you that Laborers for Christ Word Life Center on this fourth Sunday of January, the 27th, will have their normal worship service at 4 o'clock p.m. No 10:30 service. It will be at 4 o'clock p.m. at Bethany Union in their sanctuary, downstairs sanctuary. So we do invite you and we encourage you and we remind you to come out and worship with us. That's this Sunday, January 27th at 4 o'clock p.m., Bethany Union, lower level sanctuary. So make sure we get our rides together and probably an hour and a half service, not long, but powerful. And your presence is needed and desired. And so come out and fellowship with us. This allows other ministry to fellowship with our church by having it at the 4 o'clock hour. So we praise God. You can always come a little earlier. We definitely still have the ability to be upstairs. If you want to fellowship, definitely a part of our gathering on Sundays. So we encourage you to come on out timely so that we can leave timely. In this kind of inclement weather, we want to be mindful of that. So we appreciate you. Stay warm. and stay true to the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.